On the air everywhere, this is Metro South Podcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning. Hello, good morning. Hello, check. Hello, check. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. What am I doing? Hello, check. Hello, check.
Sound like I'm having an orgasm, but it's certainly not the case. I guarantee you that. There is no question that it's not occurring at this time. How are you? My name is Ron Van Dam. Pleasure to be with you on this fine day. In the Northeast, another snowstorm thing on the day of this podcast, which is February 2nd in the year of your Lord, 2015. Hey, it's the year of your Lord every year. Let's face it. You always got that prefix going on with that thing. Is a snowstorm outside again. Deja vu. It happened last Tuesday. And now it's Monday. It's like the storm of the week in the Northeast. We're expecting a little less than a foot of snow in this area. Probably about 8 to 10 inches. That's what she said. Oh, stop it. Just cut it out. You know, kids are home from school today, Ron. You better be a little bit careful. I know you're not FCC regulated anymore, but still, you have a certain responsibility. We all have responsibility, don't we? Huh? Yeah. Do you curse around your children? Oh, you better not. Oh, no, girl. You better not do that. I know. Cursing is a part of life in your world, whatever. But I'll tell you something. They shouldn't be learning it from you. Let them learn it from their friends. You know what I'm saying? Just like they learn sex. Not from you, from their friends. Let them learn that stuff from their friends. Certain thing. Hello, is anybody going to be honest and raise their hand and say, yeah, I learned all about sex and what to do with sex and how to deal with sex and all that stuff. I learned it from my parents. Does anybody know? Because you don't. Nobody does. You walk in on your parents having sex, you might as well just call it the end of the game, man. You know, just go home because it's all over for you. You'll never have sex again the rest of your life or ever. Ever. You can't do that. No, it's not based on what your parents do. It's based on what your friends tell you. Hey, Ron. It's based on what Bill Cosby tells you, basically. Isn't that true, isn't it? Hey, now Roseanne Barr is talking about Bill Cosby because her production, her producers for the Roseanne show, whatever you call that sickly program, were the same as the Cosby show. And she said everybody in the industry knows that Bill Cosby is a sexual lech. They all know it. She's surprised it hasn't come out before because it was just a, you know, you mentioned the name Bill Cosby for decades and people go, oh, him. It's just everybody knew it. I didn't know it. You didn't know it. The general public had no idea about this guy. And again, allegedly. But Roseanne says, no big shock, man. It was the talk of the town for decades now. Not a big deal. It's just something you did. And, of course, the interviewer said to Roseanne, well, why didn't anybody, when any of the girls come out who were sexually abused by Cosby? And she says, well, because, I don't know. She says, I don't know. She says, because guys don't talk about it, but when girls talk about it, it comes out in the public, and back then, girls weren't in charge of talking about things. I have no idea what Roseanne is talking about. She's not exactly the spokesperson for the human race. For the longest time, if you looked under a garbage can lid or even under the garbage can itself, you'd find Roseanne. I find her despicable. Ever since she made a joke of the Star Spangled Banner, whatever the hell she sang, in front of the ballpark, I just found her to be the incumbents of spittle, the oozing pus of every sore, just a disgusting, walking, sluggy human being. And I never forgave her for that, and I really don't care, because that's not like my end-all and be-all, but I'm just, my opinion of her is that of an amoeba. She's like no smarter than an amoeba. And she thinks she's so funny. She had a great stand-up routine, which she kind of repeated all the time. And beyond that, I find her totally unfunny, and everybody considers her to be this goddess comedian guru. She's not. She's a little piece of crap is what she is. Come on, give me a break. We idolize all the wrong people. All the wrong people. You should be idolizing me, seriously, but you don't. Guess what today is, ladies and gentlemen? I'll wait. It's Groundhog Day. Yeah, we're taping this thing on February 2nd, which is indeed Groundhog's Day, Groundhog Day, which is, there's Flag Day, there's Christmas Day, there's New Year's Day, there's Groundhog Day, and that's about it. And Easter, I guess, maybe, a little bit. Maybe Labor Day, maybe. But Groundhog Day is the big one. That's when schools are all closed in the Northeast because of Groundhog Day. It has nothing to do with the snow. It's Groundhog Day. And I think it's a groundhog. Yeah, it is groundhog. I always thought it was a little gerbil that came out of, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be funny? How are we going to know if there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter? Well, we could ask the gerbil. Roll in Richard Gere. Richard? Ooh, Ron, don't go there. Allegedly. Maybe you don't know that story and it's not funny to you because you don't understand what I'm talking about, so I'm going to move on right now. Today is Groundhog Day, and somewhere in the Pennsylvania area, in Puxatonkey or whatever the fuck, there's a rodent that apparently is the end-all and be-all of weather forecasting. And believe me, I've seen some weather forecasters who, by the way, are subservient to groundhogs. I think that probably they do their weather forecast. They got a groundhog in a cage in a back room somewhere and going, hey, man, I got to come up with a forecast tomorrow. Help me out, man. Groundhog says, I don't know, like light snow? I don't know. Well, do you see your shadow? It's ridiculous. Guess the percentage of correct predictions by the groundhog on Groundhog Day. Take a guess. It's been a little over 100 years. I think 120 years this groundhog crap has been going on. Guess the percentage that the groundhog is correct with its predictions. Take a guess. I'll wait. Time's up. 39%. The groundhog is only right 39% of the time. 50-50 would be impressive. But it's not even that. The point is, whatever the groundhog says, it's usually the opposite. So there's your prediction. I mean, seriously, man, if you went to a bookie or something and you were given the wrong stock information, saw your stocks, and the next day the stocks go through the roof and you've lost all your money, it's like, wait a minute. I wouldn't deal with you anymore. But somehow this groundhog gets away with this crap all the time. And it has a very nice life. They take care of this groundhog. They house it. They feed it. I think it has a car and a parking space and everything. I mean, they really coddle this groundhog like it's some kind of royal rodent. But it's wrong 39% of the time. I mean, seriously, it should be dinner somewhere, if you know what I'm saying. Somewhere they must eat groundhog. I don't know what it tastes like. Probably chicken. But I say if the prediction is wrong, your dinner. I think that would kind of make the groundhog a little bit more accurate. apparently it has nothing to do with the groundhog's intelligence whatsoever, oddly enough, huh? If the groundhog sees its shadow, then there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter, whatever that means. If it doesn't see its shadow when it comes out of its little freaking hole, then it's going to be a short winter, and spring will be coming sooner than usual. Well, it's hard to believe on a day like this, when it's like zero outside and it's a freaking snowstorm. Hard to believe. Because today, as you know, because there is a snowstorm all across the snowbelt here, indeed, the groundhog will not be seeing its shadow today. Will not. Which means it's going to be a short winter. I scoff and laugh at that. I think you're going to add to you're going to take your 39%, and I think you're going to knock it down to 35, man, because it doesn't look like it's going to be a short winter. And it's all based on whether this animal sees its shadow or not. I mean, you could basically do tree day, you know, like will a tree cast a shadow? Oh, it didn't? Okay, a short winter. I mean, it is that stupid. It is that stupid. But because winter is such a horrible, 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 horrible thing, we put credence into this rodent because we're just hoping it's right, but it really usually isn't. So I'm sorry about that. There's your groundhog story, and that's a sad, sad reality. Because right now I'm looking for the groundhog to be real smart, but it's not going to be. Which means February is going to suck, and about half of March usually sucks. Although we have had some tremendous snowstorms in April. I mean, tremendous. I think one of the top 5 snowstorms in New England was the first week of April, or second week of April even, somewhere in April, beginning of April. So you just don't know. You just don't know, so shut up. We turn to the Farmer's Almanac for these predictions as well. By the way, there's a Farmer's Almanac and there's an Old Farmer's Almanac. Uh-huh. Just like there's a Testament and a New Testament and a New Testament and a really, really, really New Testament. And I'm not kidding this time. It's really New Testament. And a, it's not as really new as I said last time, Testament, but this is the really, really, I'm not kidding, I swear this is New Testament. So there's a lot of testaments out. So this is the Farmer's Almanac. A bunch of farmers get together and they sit down and they write. This is, they got chicken poop all over their hands and they're milking cows all day and breeding all kinds of goat stuff personally. And making sweaters and stuff and fireplaces and picking corn and cotton and getting it mixed up and all doing all kinds of stuff. And then they say, hey, you know, it's nighttime. Let's have some dinner and let's make some predictions. What do you say? What do you think, Zeke? That's what they do. That's what they do. So, like, I don't know how they would know better than anybody else. I guess they put their ears to the ground and see if the Indians are coming or the cowboys or whatever the hell that is, or maybe those are Indians I'm talking about. I don't know. So here's a prediction from the Farmer's Almanac, not the Old Farmer's Almanac. These are farmers that are, I think, under 40 years old. When you're over 40, you have to write for the Old Farmer's Almanac. Of course, then there's the old, really freaking old Farmer's Almanac, and then there's They're All Dead Farmer's Almanac. And that's the accurate one. Here's what they say about February. And, of course, this is the second day of February. So what are they saying about the 1st through the 3rd of February in the Farmer's Almanac? Here's what they say, because Ron has the answer for you. There is a reason why you listen to this show. I'm not sure it's this reason, but there is one. It's saying February 1st to 3rd, unsettled skies. They are unsettled. A few flakes for Groundhog Day. Well, do you consider that a miss? I mean, that is exactly what it says. A few flakes for Groundhog Day. That's today. Do you consider this to be a few flakes? There's more than a few flakes. I think you're wrong. And then it says clearing and cold. And obviously, if we have flakes, it's going to clear after that sometime. And then it's going to be cold because in the winter, behind storms, you always get shots of cold air coming down from the north. That's how you clear out the systems. So, Farmer's Almanac, you're like toying with me. You're toying with me. They say from the 4th to the 7th, which would be a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all that stuff, Saturday, a storm intensifies off New Jersey as it moves northeast. 4 to 8 inches of snow from New York City points north, east, lesser snow amounts south and west. That means New England would get more snow, 4 to 8 inches, again, probably either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And that is possibly in the forecast for Thursday, by the way, possibly. They say the 8th to the 11th would be light snow and flurries. The 12th to the 15th, which would be a week from Friday to a week from Sunday, clearing skies and blustery. I don't know what blustery means. I really don't. I could look it up, and I have a feeling what it means, but I just don't understand why they would even have a word like blustery. It just is, it's a stupid word. Bluster. I'm feeling a bluster. It's a stupid, stupid word. Sounds like a cartoon character. 16th through 19th in February, fair skies. 20th to 23rd, some snow and flurries, which when they say some snow, I mean they're wrong usually. And 24th to 28th, which is the last 4 days of this month, fair then unsettled again. Then we're getting unsettled again with rain and snow. So, you know, but it's February. This is like you could do this every year, except for the one where we got no snow whatsoever. And then I guess the farmers were really, really wrong. I wonder if the farmers are getting high off the stuff that they're picking in the field, or if they've got a little crop of something that we don't talk about. You know what I'm saying? There's that little crop beyond the fence over the hill that we don't really talk about when we talk about our farming. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Ron. I get it. I get you, Ron. Oh, man.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Well, if you are in the snow belt and you're wearing a snow belt right now, you're probably going to go outside and do the shoveling. I got to tell you a quick little story, kids, which is, it's true. And I'm not kidding this time. It's true. I'm not making this up at all. I have a deck. No, not a dick. I have a deck. Well, I do have that. But I'm not talking about that right now. I have a deck, D-E-C-K, in the back of my house. And it's got a little barbecue grill on it and a couple of chairs. And what else do you put on a deck? I don't know. We had like 2 feet of snow, almost 3 feet of snow last Tuesday here, and I didn't shovel things. So I was faced with 3 feet of snow on my deck, and I was concerned that my deck would collapse because of the weight of the snow. Now, it was a very fluffy light snow, so I wasn't concerned at first, but then I figured, oh my God, if it rains or the snow gets moist or something, it's going to turn into cement and my deck will collapse. I will have a collapsing deck. So yesterday, I put on my snowsuit and my mittens clipped to my jacket sleeves and I started shoveling. And my God, I actually at one point, don't get over concerned for me because I'm still alive, yes. But at one point, I got dizzy because I was exerting myself so much. You see, on a deck, unlike on a driveway or something, there is a railing. There is like a railing that's at least, 3.5-4 feet high? At least 4 feet high. So I had to take each shovel full of snow and lift it about 4 feet high and fling it over the fence off the deck. So, I know. You're probably saying, Ron, I didn't think you could lift something 4 feet high. And I'm saying to you, I didn't either. I seriously didn't. But you get adrenaline, like your kid is trapped under a car or something. You just get adrenaline and you want to get the job done. And I was just shoveling and shoveling and lifting and shoveling and lifting and shoveling. And you probably know I don't exercise ever. I can't even spell the word. I think it's E-K-X-C-I-C-O. I don't know how to even spell the damn word, much less do it. So I am totally out of shape. And they say you can get a heart attack if you exert yourself and you don't warm up. Well, I was a candidate for that, I suppose. So I felt I didn't feel short of breath, but I felt dizzy. And it was like, whoa, I'm on a merry-go-round. That's probably not good because I'm not on a merry-go-round. So something's not good. So I stood there in the cold, and I just stood there like for about 5 minutes until I was not dizzy anymore. And then I stupidly continued shoveling. But I got the job done. I thought, oh, man, and I didn't eat that much yesterday. Yeah, this is yesterday. This is on Sunday. I didn't eat that much, and maybe that's why I was dizzy, and I exerted myself cardiovascularly like I never had before. I mean, I was just like, whoa, and I got through, and I was proud of myself that I did it, and I was still alive. So I got on the scale this morning figuring, oh man, I'm gonna weigh half as much as what I weighed yesterday. I've got to weigh like nothing, man. I have exercised to the hilt. I mean, I this is a workout that you can't even get at the gym, much less anywhere in the world. I mean, I must be like wonderfully lost weight. And I get on the scale, and guess what? I gained weight. I gained 2 pounds, and I cannot figure. This is freaking me out. How could I possibly gain 2 pounds where I didn't eat any more than I usually do, and I shoveled an entire deck like for 1.5 hours, the complete motion of shoveling except for the 5 minutes that I felt dizzy? So, I mean, like, how did I gain 2 pounds? And I don't know. And I have nobody to ask because I don't talk about these things to people except for you, because we have this special relationship between you and me. I wouldn't tell anybody else about this. I don't know how I... Muscles? Do I have 2 pounds of muscles overnight? I don't think so. I just thought I would have burned every calorie like within the past 5 years yesterday. But I didn't. And that's what I was wearing.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years? A true beer drinking experience? Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Fockenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Fockenhalter. It's beer.
Back to the program. I'm still here. Don't worry about it. Don't get crazy or anything. I'm still here. Everything's fine. Oh, bacon. Ooh, don't even say bacon. Why is that the one food that when you mention the word, people go like, oh, bacon? Is it the smell? Is it the sodium content? Is it the fact that it's part of a pig? What is it about bacon that is so alluring to individuals, especially to men? Why is it such a manly thing to eat bacon? I mean, you can say like 2 million words to somebody, and if the word bacon is somewhere in that phrase, they go, bacon, bacon, what a wonderful idea, bacon. What is about that? Who did that? Whose fault is that? Do you ever watch these cooking shows? I don't anymore because for this very reason, I find it quite annoying. They have a food on television, I think it's on ABC, called The Taste. And there's these cooks, chefs, I guess they call themselves. And all they do is cook stuff. And Rachel Ray cooks on her talk show too. But if they happen to mention in any sense of the word, let's put some garlic in there, or take a clove of garlic and put it, chop up garlic, the audience goes, whoa, man, garlic. How do they do it? It's like such a, why is there such a reaction when people throw this thing into a dish? I mean, do you do it at home? Like when you're making like spaghetti sauce or something? And, well, okay, I'm making the spaghetti sauce, put the tomatoes in, a little oil in there, and oh my God, I'm putting garlic in, oh my God. You don't do that. What is it about? I happen to hate garlic. It's like the best food for you. It's the healthiest thing for you. I just don't like the way people smell with garlic on their breath. As a matter of fact, if someone smells like garlic, I will look at my watch and go, ooh, I'm out of here. And I'll never say to them, ooh, you stink. You smell like you just ate a dead carcass. I mean, your breath could knock over like at the Clydesdales. It's just, whoa, it's just so offensive. I can't believe it. Have sex with you, kiss you, even be in the same room with you, hear you talk. Don't even exhale. Get out of my life, man. Go to an island somewhere. Go to Australia to a prison camp. I mean, seriously, man, you reek like a farmer. I don't know if farmers reek. I seriously don't, but I assume that they do. I don't know any farmers at all. I've seen them on TV, but I can't smell them. But when they use this garlic, it's just like people have orgasms. It's like, what are you doing? Why is this food so? And don't ever say garlic and bacon in the same sentence, because they're just going to drop like flies. People are going to die. I mean, I for some reason they just love this thing. They love it. They love it. I don't know why. Some obsession with garlic or something. Because it kills vampires? Is that why? Is that the reason? Garlic, oh my God, you said garlic. I can't believe you said garlic. You're going to put it in food? You're going to take garlic and put it in food? Oh my God, I can't believe it. You are so amazing. They do that with alcohol too. Like when you're doing a flambe or something, or you're doing like a chicken marsala, and we put the chicken in and the mushrooms and onions, and now I'm going to add some sherry. Whoa, sherry. He's adding alcohol and bacon, and he's also adding garlic. Oh my God, what a rebel he is. Oh my God.
Soon it'll be filled with parking cars. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love.
Yep, I think I will have the vegetarian lasagna.
You're vegetarian?
Yeah. You too?
Yeah.
How come?
Oh, well, you know, both of my parents were vegetarian. And they've always just taught me not to trust the Jews. And basically, they influence everything. They influence the banks. They influence the liberal media. They basically control most of the monopoly of the culture of America. And, of course, that's the superpower, so it folds back onto everyone else. And of course, the Israeli occupation is just wrong.
You know what?
And the Holocaust.
I think you might be getting vegetarianism confused with anti-Semitism.
Really?
Yeah.
In that case, I might have the duck a l'orange.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Sounds like somebody needs to learn to make better choices.
Whatever.
Yeah, ba-da-ba-da-ba. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? Good to see you. This is a magical day here. Yeah, it's magical. Yesterday was the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was yesterday, and much to my surprise, the New England Patriots won. And I really, you know, in New England, because we're in New England here with the podcast thing, everybody was like, just, yeah, Patriots are going to win. But you could see in the back of their mind, and I can see people's backs of minds. I have that talent. They're pretty much going, I'm not sure about this. Like, I hope we do, but I'm not sure. But it looked like they were going to lose. And this is what happens to me. This is what happens to me because I give up. I give up a lot. I mean, I look at people and I just put my hands on, I give up. I give up with you. I give up. I give up all the time. It's so much easier and I'm lazy. And so I just give up. And so I'm watching the game and the Patriots score first. And then it's 7-7. And then it's like 14-7 losing. And then there's like a really, really bad. And that's 14-14 at the half. It's like nobody ever played. And, you know, so it's like 0-0 and it's 14-14. And then it's like in the fourth quarter and the Patriots are losing by like quite a bit. And I go to bed because I figure, all right, I'm not going to sit here and watch them lose at this time of night because it's going to get me all upset, even though I don't care. I guess I do. And I'm just going to go to sleep. And I fell asleep anyway because it was getting late. It was after like 4 p.m. So I fall asleep and I get up in the middle of the night to pee. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that part because I'm very medical oriented. And I'm turning the TV on. I'll see who won. I see how much they lost by. And apparently they win the game. So I go, fine. This is like, you know. So I go to the NFL Network because I know that they repeat the Super Bowl like a lot. And there it was. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're running the Super Bowl all over again. So I watched the whole thing. I just like, you know, I stayed up all night pretty much just watching the Super Bowl rerun that I had missed, Sunday night. And nobody should have won that game. I mean, both teams are playing really, really well. I'm going to be talking sports like for 3 minutes, and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So just enjoy. This time of a guy talking about sports who doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Both teams made tremendous errors. Both teams made miraculous plays. But the last miraculous thing the Patriots did, and they stopped Seattle from forging ahead, and they stayed behind by a few points, and they lost, and the Patriots won. And that's the way their season has been. You always think they're going to lose pretty much all the time, and then all of a sudden they win, and you go like, what the fuck just happened here? They won. I'm happy, but I don't understand how this happened. Because they weren't like the best team ever, but they somehow miraculously always pulled something out of the hat. So it was fascinating, and they did an interview with one of the players, and I don't know which one it was. I think it was the guy at the end, and I don't know his name because I totally don't care. There's a guy, he's like number 21, I believe, and he was the one that at the very end of the game, the last minute of the game, he makes an interception, and the Patriots win accordingly. And it was, you know, so they're interviewing him and they said, so how does this happen? And he says, you know what it is? He says, you never give up. He says, you just never, ever give up, because if you do give up, you don't know what's going to happen. And if you just keep trying and trying and trying and trying till the very end, you could succeed. You could win. And that's what happened. And now I'm saying to myself, wow, I'm going to start living just like this football player, never ever give up. And that's what I did. I gave up. I went to sleep, and I missed the game. So what they're saying is, in life, never ever give up, because you never know. At the last minute, you could actually win.
You're listening to The Big Show by Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. but sometimes he says bad words.
So I never thought that watching a Super Bowl, I could come away with some deep meaning of life, some internal drive in my own personal life from a football game. And to this day, it boggles my mind. It really does. All right, I've got an interview that we're going to play here. We recorded this last week, and it's important. I want to play it because it's interesting. There's this guy who does thyroid surgery on kids, and I'm thinking, okay, all right, that's weird, but like thyroid on kids, like kids have thyroid problems? Excuse me? And the guy says, yeah, they do, and we do surgery on kids with thyroid problems. I said, oh my God. So it's an interesting little thing. I'm going to play it for you right now. So hold on, you ready? Here we go. I'm speaking to Andrew Bauer. He's a doctor, a medical director of the Pediatric Thyroid Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Ron. Good morning to all your listeners.
Pleasure to have you. My God, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, one of the amazing places. We've talked out of there before, doing some amazing things. Thyroid disease, we're pretty much putting that on adults, but I understand, based on where you are, that this affects kids as well.
Absolutely, and it affects kids from newborns all the way through, you know, entering into adulthood as they head off into their 20s. So being aware that these things can develop in kids is really important. All newborns are screened for congenital hypothyroidism, which is actually quite common. 1 in 2,500 births across the United States is screened for in every state, and treatment's initiated within the first couple of weeks. But if kids don't have that, they still can develop thyroid conditions, where the thyroid either doesn't work enough, hypothyroidism, or works too much, hyperthyroidism, or even develop thyroid nodules and thyroid cancers, which are things most people don't think about within the pediatric age group.
Yeah. So a thyroid condition, is it a spin of the wheel, whether you have it or not, or is it biological, genetic?
There's definitely a genetic component. So one of the risk factors that, across the board for all the conditions I just mentioned are, does something run in your family?
I see.
And some of these conditions are a specific gene that we can test for, but many of them are just a kind of a genetic predisposition. It runs in the family. Some people have, you know, Hashimoto's or autoimmune hypothyroidism. Some people have Graves' disease or autoimmune hyperthyroidism. And then even some people that develop thyroid nodules and thyroid cancers, those can also run in families, although they're typically more, we call it sporadic. You know, there isn't a history that would identify them as from their family that of a risk factor. For thyroid cancer, the biggest risk factor that we know of is a previous history of exposure to radiation, which most people don't have. The only group that we know about are kids that are fortunate to survive another cancer, and radiation was part of the treatment, that they're at increased risk of developing thyroid nodules and thyroid cancer. But for the rest, we usually don't know. It just is something that happened.
All right. So thyroid disease and thyroid cancer, are they two different things?
Well, thyroid cancer is one of the thyroid diseases. So the other ones, the hypo and hyper, are medically managed.
Right.
Hypo is actually pretty stable. It's a pill. It's once a day. It's labs that we check. It's weight-based. So during pediatrics, we have to check it more frequently and make sure kids are growing and developing normally and balancing all that. Hyperthyroidism is a little bit trickier. There's lots of ups and downs, a lot of adjustments in medical management, and sometimes we actually have to get rid of the thyroid gland either surgically or using radioactive iodine because the disease just is unrelenting. It's not going away.
Right.
And the thyroid nodules and thyroid cancer is surgical management for many, not for most, as far as nodules, but for thyroid cancer, it's surgical management, and then some patients benefit from radioactive iodine after that as part of the treatment.
Okay. Does thyroid surgery remove the thyroid, actually?
So for Graves' disease, for thyroid surgery, the goal is completely removing, total thyroidectomy, removing the entire thyroid gland so that the disease doesn't come back.
Right.
And the same is true for thyroid cancer. For most cancers, the goal is to remove the entire thyroid gland and even some of the lymph nodes that are in the area around the thyroid gland.
So it's like a gallbladder, like you don't necessarily need it?
Except that if you remove the thyroid gland, you have to take thyroid hormone replacement
because
it is one of those hormones that you do need over your lifetime.
Okay.
You can get away without your gallbladder and just being careful with your diet or changing your diet. But if you remove the thyroid, you have to go on replacement therapy.
Now, the hormone itself, as you say, something that is through therapy that can be dealt with. Is that also a personality quirk in a child? Does it end up manifesting itself in their personalities?
For kids that are developing either hyperthyroidism, you can have signs and symptoms. We have a list on our website for those. Some of them kind of cross over between everyday life and kids developing. But if you think about it in general, hypo is, you know, kids that are slowed down, less energy, sleeping more frequently, you know, gaining weight more easily, those types of things. Hyper is the revved up state. You know, they're bouncing off the wall, they can't focus, they can't sleep.
Okay.
So those are the kind of the extremes.
All right. So the survival rate, I assume, is and the treatment rate, it gets better every year, I guess?
For Hashimoto's and Graves, you know, treatment is, as I mentioned, easily medical management, follow growth and development. For thyroid cancer, very treatable, about 95% survival rate.
Good.
The trick within the pediatric age group is going someplace that sees this frequently enough that they can reduce the complications, the surgical complications and the medical, because those are things kids live with for the rest of their life. So if it's a very treatable cancer, you want to go someplace where they not only know how to treat it, but they know how to keep the complication rate low.
So if a child or even an adult has problems losing weight no matter what they try, it could be a thyroid situation.
It could be, but I think, unfortunately, that it's usually a more difficult discussion. Usually people gain weight because we eat too much and we don't exercise enough. And then there's this genetic thing. Like some people have a worse metabolism than others because we all have friends and family members that can eat what they want and don't gain weight. And then others that seem to gain weight just seeing food. So the thyroid can be a part of that. It's usually not the only explanation.
Okay.
As part of that.
The Pediatric Thyroid Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, I assume, has got a good handle on that, and the children from all over the country and the world might actually check that out?
Absolutely. We see kids from all over the United States and the world. I think we're lucky. We have a great team. We have about 8 different divisions that are involved, and it's within a wonderful pediatric setting. So from the time the family's checking in through getting their vitals checked. It's a team that really knows how to, you know, take care of kids and try to put their fears at ease. And then a team with great expertise as far as performing surgery if it needs to be and medically managing and following a disease in a growing child, which is much different than, a disease in adults.
Yeah.
So having kids cared for in a pediatric center is absolutely critical.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you and the work that you do and your staff and everybody at the hospital. How can people get more information if they have a concern?
They can go to our website, which is www.chop.edu/thyroid. And CHOP is Children's Hospital Philadelphia, CHOP.
Okay.
So CHOP.edu/thyroid.
Excellent. Doctor, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for the information. Great. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron, and thanks to all your listeners, and hopefully you guys stay warm and dig out from the snowstorm.
Hopefully. If not, I'll give you a call. You can come up and help.
Absolutely. I'm good with a shovel.
Okay, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, take care.
All right. Did you hear what he said at the end? Absolutely, I'm good with a shovel. spoken like a true surgeon at a children's hospital. You do a lot of thyroid surgeries? Hey, can I tell you, I'm good with a shovel, huh? It's just wonderful that medical science and medical technology has just come to the point where we can fix a lot of these things. I also took note that it's the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, an incredible place, but they call it CHOP, CHOP, CHOP. And I'm thinking, do you want to use the word CHOP to describe a hospital where you do surgery? I mean, I don't know how well that actually works. Come on, kids, we're going to go down, get chopped. No. Just weird kind of an acronym. It's a little weird.
I'm good with a shovel. I'm good with a shovel.
Well, kids, man, we learned a lot of stuff today. I don't remember what it is, but I learned something. I learned that even kids have thyroid problems, you know what I'm saying? I also learned that I get great wisdom from football players. Their little sayings and their little footballisms actually, I guess, do pertain to real life if you juggle it around enough. And oddly enough, the Patriots won the Super Bowl without any kind of deflated balls. So I guess that proves something. What's going to happen now? I mean, now that they're the Patriots are now the new NFL brand. They have set pretty much all the Super Bowl records there are to be set. So can the NFL turn around and say, you know that thing that we're proud of, like all the records of the Super Bowl and the New England Patriots, they're cheaters. I mean, it's going to be difficult for the NFL to make this decision. We'll see what happens. But now, apparently, it doesn't matter. Although, in New England, they're real proud of their team. Perhaps throughout the rest of the country, as much as they congratulate the Patriots for winning, they probably still consider them to be the enemy and the cheaters of the world. Who knows? You know what? Who cares? Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Be back with you again tomorrow around the same time, huh? What do you say? What do you say? Come on, say it. Come on, say it. Say it.
Unbelievably painful.